Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Monday. It is great to have you in live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It was a wacky, bizarre backup quarterbacks taking over the world Sunday, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Trent Dilfer next hour as well. Listen, it is, you get different week. There's always a week every year in college football and the pros where you're just like, all right, that didn't make any sense. That all the you know, average teams beat good teams. And this weekend was three backup quarterbacks taking over the world. And that's what makes sports fun, is that you're never quite sure. And then Trevor Siemian outplays Tom Brady. All right, I give up.
Mike White, Geno Smith.
Played fantastic. At one point, there was a stat during that game. Geno Smith has tied Aaron Rodgers for the most straight completions. And I'm like, okay, I give up Sunday.
It was like the week where all the kickers missed everything.
It's just, it's what makes sports great, all the drama. So let's start with this. One of the things I see, and we're at the halfway point of the season, inches away, right? And now, all right, now some people are like, I got to get the resume ready. I'm losing my job. When your quarterback is average or a little better than average, you start blaming everybody else for the losses. Oh, it's the play caller. Oh, it's the coach. Oh, it's the O-line. General managers hear this. They can make bad trades. This is what has happened since, you know, the last several years with Kirk Cousins. He's 8-17 in primetime games. Why does that matter? Because that's when you play the best teams. He defines average. And all I hear in Minnesota is, oh, it's Mike Zimmer. Oh, it's the play calling. Oh, it's the defense. Oh, there were about six great throws in that game. Cooper Rush, a backup, made the majority of them. He, if you didn't know, one of these guys was making a bunch of money, and one was a backup, and I just said, watch him play. You couldn't tell the difference. And there's this term called Minnesota nice, because everybody in Minnesota is nice, and I think that's one of the reasons Kirk Cousins survives, is that just not mean enough there. If it was, you know, New York, if it was Chicago, if maybe it's San Francisco, a coastal city. I mean, folks, you can't tell the difference between Cooper Rush and Kirk Cousins. Now, is Kirk a better overall talent? Yeah, I'm sure he is. But he played with as much poise, as much polish, as much accuracy on the big throws as Kirk Cousins did. Well, Colin, our offensive line isn't great. You don't get everything. You got great receivers, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, and yet you had six passing first downs. You have Dalvin Cook. You average 4.8 yards an offensive play. You don't get everything. And nobody gets everything. Yeah, your offensive line could be better. But let's not be negative. Let's talk beyond Kirk Cousins of Dallas. How great do you feel this morning if you're a Cowboy fan? You didn't have Dak. Tyron Smith, great left tackle, Hall of Famer, gets hurt. Trayvon Diggs gets hurt late. Backup quarterback Cooper Rush. You had 11 penalties. You're on the road, and you won. And it was funny, late in the game, I'm looking at this game and I'm like, I think Dallas is going to win this game. I didn't feel like, oh, this is Minnesota really blew it. I was like, no. What Dallas is doing right now is what championship teams do. We saw this with Tampa last year. We saw it with Kansas City the year before. They have a playmaker in every unit. Micah Parsons, linebacker. Trayvon Diggs, secondary. Randy Gregory, defensive front. Zeke in the backfield. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. They're tight ends. The Cowboys in every unit have a playmaker. Somebody's making plays somewhere in every unit. And that's what championship teams do. To be a championship team, you need a rookie or two to be great. Remember last year? Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle for Tampa, ended up being maybe, as a rookie, the best right tackle in football. Trayvon Diggs, maybe the best corner as a second-year guy. Micah Parsons looks like the best athlete on every field he's on. This is what championship teams do. They win on the road. They can win with a backup. They get a spectacular rookie or two. They have playmakers in every unit. This is what championship teams look like. And if you're Mike McCarthy, by the way, Dallas is 6-1. They got Denver and Atlanta at home coming up. Why does that matter? Because Denver and Atlanta also have kind of marginally strong-arm quarterbacks who aren't overly mobile. And Dallas, with Dak or not, are going to be able to gobble up those offenses. So the fact that Dallas won with Cooper Rush is really starting to define their season. And the fact that Minnesota at home lost with Kirk Cousins against Cooper Rush has really started to define Kirk Cousins. Here's Mike McCarthy after.
I was glad everybody got to see that because that's Cooper Rush. I mean, I think that's the real strength of him. He plays the quarterback position, like a seasoned veteran that's played, 10, 12 years in the league. That's the man I get to see every day. I mean, he was ready to go, and that's what the backup has to do. He has to go in there every week and prepare because, he's one play away from getting in there, and I think his performance reflected that.
When you have playmakers in every unit on a football team, special teams, linebacker, secondary, pass rush, wide receiver, tight end, O-line, Zeke, this is what you do. You can use a backup and win a road game against a pretty decent, talented team in Minnesota. All right, let's talk Cleveland and the Steelers. They love Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, so you can't have a rational conversation with anybody in Cleveland about their football team. They're just going to defend Baker to the end. But this offense is broken. This passing game for Cleveland, it is broken. OBJ and Baker, blame who you want. I don't give a rip. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked since day one. Jarvis Landry had a bad Sunday. That's rare. The head coach clearly doesn't trust Baker. Fourth down, couple yards at midfield. Your defense playing fine. You don't go for it. It's a tough watch. You can blame whoever you want. Cleveland's now so defensive about Baker. They're so ingrained in, I want to be right, not get it right. It's not worth arguing. But you're seeing what you're seeing in Minnesota. Everybody now is blaming somebody else. Suddenly Kevin Stefanski's no good. And now I'm supposed to blame Jarvis Landry. Folks, you can't have this much offensive talent and not be able to score virtually every week. You can't be a burger place and have an average burger. Okay, you watch Dallas, you can tell they spend their money on offense. You watch Kansas City, you can tell they spend their money on offense. You watch Pittsburgh, you can tell they spend a lot of their money on defense. You should be able to see where you spend your money, right? If I walk into your house and you put all your money in the kitchen, it should look like you put your money in the kitchen. For the last 5 weeks for Cleveland, they can't top 17 points. They scored 14 against the Vikings, 14 against Arizona, 17 against Denver, and 10 against Pittsburgh. That's with an elite offensive line. That's with really talented receivers, excellent tight ends. Nick Chubb, they have a backup running back. That offensive line's so good, their backup running back probably starts for certain teams. You can't spend all your money. Our question about this football team in Cleveland all offseason was, there's a lot of new pieces on defense. Is this defense going to be? That ain't the problem. I'm not saying it's a top five defense. That's not the problem. I got to be able to see where you're spending your money. And when you have two star receivers and two good tight ends and multiple good backs and an excellent O-line, you can't be struggling. You just can't. And by the way, you also have an excellent offensive coach. So I get sometimes I watch some of these NFL teams and, Vic Fangio in Denver, a defensive coach, or Brian Flores in Miami's a defensive coach. And sometimes in 2021, you're like, maybe the coaching is not as progressive as you'd like. That ain't the issue with Stefanski. And by the way, you can tell now, we had the Chargers example. We had this yesterday in Pittsburgh. They don't trust Baker. They do not trust Baker. By the way, I'm not sure Baker right now trusts Baker because I don't think he plays with the confidence he played with a year ago at the end of the season. I really don't see it. So you spend big money on offense, this can't be the answer. And you can blame Stefanski and blame Landry and blame OBJ. I couldn't give a rip. All I know right now, you don't look like a playoff team. Listen, you start looking around the AFC right now, I don't know, but New England now looks pretty interesting. And Cincinnati, despite what happened yesterday, they look pretty good. And Baltimore's coming off a bye. They're a big favorite next week at home. They're going to win. But again, you blame who you want. It's not my team. It's your team. But this offense is broken. This passing game is broken. Baker after.
And it's on all of us. Everybody's going to point fingers at a few plays, but the fact is we just didn't get into a rhythm today, and you know, we stubbed our toe a few times, penalties, and just didn't make the plays we needed to win.
All right, fine. Finger point in Minnesota at somebody else, in Cleveland at somebody else. When the quarterback's not dynamic enough, this is what happens. You have what appears to be a playoff roster, and you're on the outside looking in. Blame who you want. I don't care.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, everybody's worst nightmare, Bill Belichick and the Patriots look pretty good again. Last four games, three wins, only loss, very close to an excellent Dallas team. Yesterday, they had almost 20 more plays than the Chargers on the road. They ran for almost 150 yards. They dominated time of possession. They had almost no penalties. They hung with Tampa. They hung with Dallas. They beat the Chargers, and their next four games are a lot of layups. Carolina, messy Cleveland, inefficient Atlanta, and Tennessee without Derrick Henry. And yesterday, their coaching, A+. Their O-line run game, solid A. Their defense, A+. Special teams, Nick Folk doesn't miss, that's an A. And Mac Jones, in his last 14 quarters, he has gotten out of the really awful mistake business. He still has an incredibly low ceiling, in my opinion. But he's out of the bad throw business. All that's missing for this team is a deep threat. And by the way, OBJ and DeSean Jackson both could be moved by tomorrow at 1 our time. I would strongly look, if I was New England, at DeSean Jackson. They've got enough possession, guys. They've got the coach, the special teams, the quarterback. He throws a beautiful deep ball. We saw it at Alabama. DeSean Jackson wants out of the Rams. And well-coached teams, we've always said this, they get better like a well-run business over time, block by block. It's masonry. You start looking at the AFC right now. Do you trust the Bengals? The Raiders have an interim coach. Derrick Henry could be gone for Tennessee. Kansas City's terrible defensively. Cleveland's offense is broken. You start looking around the AFC. I mean, we know Buffalo's good. Offense a little inconsistent. We know Buffalo's good. We mostly think Baltimore's good, but there's a lot of, I don't know if I trust them in a big spot. New England now, the defense is a championship defense. The head coach is, the coordinator is, the run game is, the special teams, the offensive line. They need a vertical dimension to this offense, and they're a team you want. No business playing in the playoffs. I watched that yesterday, and that was my upset of the week. And I looked at it and I thought, no, they still give young quarterbacks problems. And when you look around the NFL and the AFC, Josh Allen's still young. And Joe Burrow's still young. Start looking. Mahomes isn't young. Mahomes will be fine. But by and large, a lot of those AFC playoff teams, it's young quarterbacks. And Belichick did it again yesterday. Eats them for lunch. Or an early dinner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So, by the way, here's some clarity. The Broncos in Denver are paying virtually all of Von Miller's salary. They're paying $9 of the $9.7 million for a salary. What the Rams have to give up is draft picks next year. So as Denver is rebuilding, which they are, they get a second pick and a third pick. And so what Denver will try to do potentially is maybe, you know, use those picks to get a quarterback they like, or just keep, because I like Denver's roster. They just don't have the quarterback right. So maybe they can couple all those picks and go get a quarterback on the market if somebody is available on the market. But the Broncos are basically giving Von Miller, who will play for free in Los Angeles, for giving up picks. So LA is basically saying, we get a great player, we have to pay for him. And that's how we can have an Aaron Donald and a Von Miller on the defensive front. And we'll give up draft capital, which, by the way, they probably feel in Los Angeles, where could we draft a player that could play? Look at our wide receivers. We got Robert Woods. I mean, DeSean Jackson can't get on the field. Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Where are you going to get on the field? Running back, Cam Akers comes back next year. With Sony Michel, with Daryl Henderson, where are you going to get to play? Matt Stafford. I mean, outside of maybe a guard offensively, their O-line's rated top five in the NFL. The Rams look at it and go, well, where are you going to play? Their safeties are solid. Their corners are great. They have young linebackers they like, and now they have Von Miller and Aaron Donald. So I've seen teams do this before. Tampa's in that situation, where Tampa this year was drafting for depth. What are we going to get at the end of the first round that can start for us? Because they don't have a bad unit. Now, their secondary's a little thin, but I think the Rams look at it and think, okay, if Andrew Whitworth comes back to play next year, and at this point there's no reason not to because he makes good money, he's a team leader, they like him, they don't make him practice, essentially. I watched their practice report. He doesn't practice much anymore. So I think the Rams look at it and go, where's a third rounder? Where's he going to make our roster? And so once the Goff money comes off the books eventually, they're like, yeah, if we have to make a trade on somebody, we will. But they've done a good job to draft good players in the second, third, fourth, and fifth round. So Rams are like, yeah, we get Von Miller for free.
It's my favorite way for a good team to run their business. If you are a team that is truly, not you think you are, but you're truly a Super Bowl contender, you should not be hoarding draft picks.
Yes.
Like, you should have some, obviously. Don't give them all away. But you don't need to be developing players right now. You need to be putting together a team that can make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to get there, as you know. And it worked for them.
And by the way, Joy, there's about two or three rosters in the NFL. I could argue the Rams and the Buccaneers are the only rosters in the NFL where draft picks going to play.
Right. That's my point. You don't have the space to put them in. You're not in a developing time of your franchise's course. Like, you need to be aggressive. Go all in now.
By the way, I don't think this is a terrible move for Dallas. I mean, Dallas now looks good, and they don't have Michael Gallup or DeMarcus Lawrence. They've hit on so many rookies in the last. They've hit on four rookies. You know, they've got playmakers in every unit. So that's where we stand this morning. By the way, this is so funny. So we're essentially halfway through the season, right? Week 8. Not quite. Next week is it, but here's what the playoff picture would look right now. The NFC, I can totally buy into. So the NFC playoff picture this morning would be Green Bay number one, Cardinals, Cowboys, Bucks, Rams, Saints, Panthers. Now, you laugh at the Panthers, but let's be honest about it. Great defense. If Christian McCaffrey came back in the next 2 weeks, you could see them being a playoff team. What, they're not as good as Atlanta? Who's coming out of the NFC East? So, I mean, Carolina's got an excellent defense. Excellent coach. The fact they're 4-4, you're like, all right. So that looks mostly like I could buy into that today. Look at the AFC playoff picture today. This is a barnyard musical. All right, the Titans are 1, but just lost their star. The Raiders have an interim coach. Okay, I'll buy the Ravens and Bills at 3-4. Bengals lost to the Jets, and they're still really kind of rebuilding. Steelers can't score, and Chargers are struggling to win home games, and they're a 7. So New England's not in. Cleveland's not in. Kansas City's not in. I think the AFC playoff picture, it could look completely different than what you're seeing today. I mean, if I would have put this up, this is why I never scream hot take. Because if I would have put this up as me guessing at the halfway point, the AFC playoff picture, all the nerds on the internet, that's a hot take. No, that's what's happening right now. You just don't know. Injuries, quarterbacks. I mean, if I'd have told you, yeah, there's going to be week 8 in the NFL season, Trevor Siemian will outplay Tom Brady. I mean, the Jets now have a quarterback controversy. Cleveland, with their roster, can't score. It's not their defense, it's their offense that's broken.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
And here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, it only took half the year, but the Blazing Five was 3-2. I took the Bills. They covered. I had the Chargers being upset by the Patriots, almost the exact score. And I had the Saints giving Tom Brady a lot of trouble. In fact, it gave him so much trouble. They lost. God, I had that. I almost went 4-1 Colts. Carson Wentz lost that game 4 times, I swear to God.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't know how the Pittsburgh Steelers are winning. In 2021, I don't know how they're winning. They've scored fewer points than the Giants, Denver, and Washington. But they've got a winning record, and they play the Lions next. I got to stop doubting Mike Tomlin. They just keep making big defensive plays late in games. Najee Harris is their entire running game. They have a young offensive line, which I'll give them credit. Yesterday, that young Steeler O-line had one of their better Sundays. So this is a weird way to win in 2021 with no offense, but they're doing it, and I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
I said when Mac Jones got drafted, his ceiling's low, but he probably would be the most successful first-year rookie quarterback because it's the perfect place. And guess what? He's the only rookie quarterback with more touchdowns than picks. He's completing 68% of his throws. He's got the head coach, the coordinator, the O-line in the running game. And I said, I don't think he has a terribly high ceiling, but I think you're going to see what he is really, really quickly. And you are. He's accurate. He's gotten out of the terrible throw business. And you know what? I'll be honest. He's a little better every week I see him. He's just a little better. And I think we may be fairly close to the ceiling. But New England wanted to be good now because they thought they had the head coach and the coordinator and the O-line and the defense to win now and the kicker to win now, and they do. So Mac is good. Of all the young guys, he's the best now.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I had the Packers winning their division, but I thought Aaron Rodgers was way too noisy in the offseason, and it would just never feel right. But that win Thursday in Arizona, missing 11 starters, is one of the great Packer wins in the last 10 years, if you count non-playoff wins. In the last 7 weeks, Aaron Rodgers has 17 TDs and one pick. They're doing it without their two best defensive players. They're playing physical football. I couldn't tell you the last team that was the noisiest team in the offseason, but maybe the best team during the season. That's not the way the NFL works. NBA teams are noisy all the time. It's star-driven. NFL noise equals losses, not with Green Bay.
Where Colin was right.
I never liked the OBJ-Baker connection. It doesn't work. I don't care whose fault it is. You can blame whoever you want. It doesn't work. OBJ looks washed, although I still think he can play, but he's not as quick as he was. Baker doesn't feel comfortable throwing to him in big spots. I thought it was a weird fit. You had young Baker Mayfield, this young kid. Let's give him a superstar wide receiver. I think that's really – let me defend Baker. I think that's hard on quarterbacks. You got a young, remember when Dez and Dak and Dallas finally said, we got to let him sprinkle the ball where he wants to throw it. So it doesn't work, and I've been saying this for 2 years, trade him. Now, all the injuries and his ineffectiveness, I'm not sure how much you could get for OBJ.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said in the NBA draft, I would have taken Zion over Ja Morant, but Zion's hurt again. He looks really, really heavy. He's not playing. And Ja Morant is a spectacular basketball talent. 28 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and now he can hit shots. He's becoming a better shooter. I never judge young players too much on their jumper. It takes to Ray Allen didn't come into this league as a great shooter. But, you know, the league is because you can't hand check. The league is becoming such a guard and wing league, and you just can't stay in front of Ja Morant. Zion, I like him, but his weight, it's an issue. He is just, he's 285, 290, and by the way, these are the young years when you can burn off weight faster. What happens 4 years from now with Zion?
Where Colin was right.
I love Mel Tucker, the coach of Michigan State. When he got hired, I said, I don't understand the lukewarm response. In 2 years, he made Colorado a much tougher, more physical team. How about Kenneth Walker? They were down 30-14. He is 8-0 in his first truly full season at Michigan State last year, the pandemic year. And this program was the definition of average. I mean, they were average in the Big Ten. They were 7-6. And he walked in and he told these kids, we can win a national championship here. Now, I don't know if you can, but there are very few head coaches I watch on television and think I would run through a wall for this coach. this is what USC needs, a presence, an alpha. Congratulations to Sparty in what is the best college football game I think I've seen in several years, and that includes the Sooner Longhorn game earlier this year.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jim Harbaugh. He now has a losing record against Michigan State. He can't beat Ohio State, and he's 2-12 against top 10 teams. I gave him a ton of credit. I thought he had a presence. But in 7 years now, what has he grabbed? What has he done? Listen, they're not good enough at quarterback, which is bizarre to me because he was an NFL quarterback. If they'd had bad defenses, been good on offense, I'd have gotten that. It's the opposite. I don't find him terribly likable. I think now he has the second biggest presence in his own state. Situationally, they make too many mistakes. And after 7 years, and I've defended him, he's won 71.5% of his games, but he can't beat his two rivals consistently. He can't beat one of them at all, and he can't beat top teams.
Where Colin was right.
Dan Campbell, I know he's likable. I know he's the one NFL coach you'd want to have a beer with. He's 0-8, and every tactic is failing. I keep hearing, oh, he's a great motivator. Well, they lost 44-6 at home to Philadelphia. That's a team that quit. You can't tell me that Philadelphia is 38 points better than the Detroit Lions. He fights for his team. I think he's a good person. Maybe he's the world's best defensive coordinator. Again, I'm not saying that Dan Campbell doesn't have value coaching this league, but I didn't like his opening press conferences. I thought he came off as kind of silly and amateurish, and it ain't working. By the way, when you watch Detroit play, and I don't want to come across as mean, Sean McVay got Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. I mean, end of tweet. I mean, seriously, I defended Jared Goff, but I'll tell you who looks good in this whole deal. Sean McVay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Terry Bradshaw's Stack the Cash jackpot has been won. Congratulations to the five winners who are splitting over $313,000 of Terry's money. If you missed out on the fun yesterday, don't worry. Terry is running it back for week 9. Scan the QR code, download the app, and enter the NFL Sunday Challenge contest for free. The more people who enter, the bigger the jackpot gets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Ben Roethlisberger is now officially 24-3-1 against the Browns. Yesterday, he won his 50th game in the state of, versus the state of Ohio. Not a shock. Cleveland and Cincinnati erode yesterday, and Mike Tomlin again wins. You know, and I've said this before with Tomlin. Tomlin and Pete Carroll have always been similar to me. Sometimes the lack of attention to details drive me nuts, but there's an ability to win games close. You're not sure how, and they have these performances. And, you know, I've been very critical of Pete Carroll, much more than other people. I didn't really get Tomlin for a long time. He was like, is he a you know, where are the details in offense? And now over time, I've discovered through basic, you know, sleuthing that a lot of it's Big Ben. And he didn't give you much of an offseason. He's not very good pre-snap. And, you know, in Pittsburgh, the coach doesn't decide who the quarterback is. The GM decides personnel in Pittsburgh. Okay, the front office of Pittsburgh's deciding who gets drafted. So it's just very funny to show you that Mike Tomlin, the value of Mike Tomlin. So what I'm about to say, you all know. It's an offensive league. The defenses coaches, Ron Rivera, Vic Fangio, a lot of the defensive coaches, Brian Flores in this league, they're not winning games. They're struggling. Offensive coaches, who we don't even know if they're good coaches, Cliff Kingsbury, are crushing. And here's the 16 lowest scoring teams in the NFL. These are the worst offenses in the NFL. One has a winning record. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. Now think about that. One of the 16 lowest scoring teams has a winning record. Why? Because he holds himself accountable, because he builds great defenses. If you look at the last three wins for them, in all of those games, they have just made a play on the defensive side of the field to win a game that was ugly. In fact, they only win one way now in Pittsburgh, ugly. But they win, and they keep winning, and that's Mike Tomlin. By the way, Sean Payton's getting all the credit this morning. Oh, my God, Trevor Siemian. Well, why can't you give the defensive coach credit when he keeps winning the exact same way every week with a great defensive play late? They just make a play in big games. They got one running back they trust, Najee Harris. He gets all the carries. They got two receivers, Claypool and Johnson, they like, and they had literally one great offensive play yesterday. Their tight end, the rookie out of Penn State, made a great catch. And they won on the road against a very good roster. Tomlin gets credit. He always holds himself accountable. He's blunt. He's to the point. Here's what he said after. This is so Mike Tomlin, it hurts.
Everybody just played a selfless game. You know, they put the collective in front of personal agendas, man, and we fought. And that's the only way you get out of those environments, particularly with some of the adversity that we face today, some of which was created by us, some of which was created by me. You know, the fake field goal, man, was a bad call because we poorly executed it. And so I take responsibility for that. I appreciate the guys back in my play and fighting for 60 minutes and delivering victory and making it a side note.
That's coaching. In this era, when you cannot score and you have a winning record, got to give the coach. We're giving Sean Payton credit today. Mm-hmm. Remember, Sean Payton's one of those names Mike Tomlin brought up a week ago. We're going to give Payton all the credit for winning without Jameis. Well, you keep winning the exact same way and can't score. And again, Mike Tomlin doesn't get the say on Ben. That's Kevin Colbert. The front office in Pittsburgh does all the drafting. And for the record, mostly does it well. And if you're a Steeler fan today, you got to feel good for two reasons. Number one, your offensive line, I thought yesterday, actually played pretty well. It's young. It's rebuilding. I thought the Steelers' O-line yesterday opened some holes for Najee Harris. Here's the second thing. I was just talking to Trent Dilfer about this. To be a championship team, you need old guys who are eroding to pop and young guys that you wouldn't think you'd get much from to pop. Very interesting watching the Cowboys. So Zeke, we thought, was eroding. He had the best run maybe in the league yesterday. Randy Gregory, who I gave up on years ago, is now completely disruptive. Trayvon Diggs, second year, maybe the league's best corner. Micah Parsons is virtually unblockable, arguably the best rookie in the league. Amari Cooper now is ninth in touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb is top 10, I think, in yards. You got rookies popping. Cedric Wilson's a six-rounder, has become a playmaker. This is what a championship team looks like. Every single unit, there's a star somewhere in it. And you're getting stuff from six-rounders. I mean, I thought Zeke was done. I'm like, okay, three straight years. I mean, this is why Green Bay drafted a quarterback, because Aaron had this slight decline. Zeke's was much more obvious. He did not have juice. So every unit has a playmaker. Linebacker's got Micah Parsons. Secondary, Trayvon Diggs. Receiver, you got Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Cedric Wilson. What's great for the Cowboys is their best pure pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, hasn't stepped on the field. Michael Gallup, probably their fastest straight-line receiver, is done on the field. They've got their tight ends now are getting a ton of work. You know, you do need to be a Super Bowl team. You need unexpected production. You can't plan all this stuff. You're just going to have injuries. You're going to have guys not play well. Actually, what's interesting is their offensive line now is one of the few things I question, which is it's going to go down as one of the great offensive lines in the last 20 years. Tyron Smith was in the tent yesterday. He's hurt. Connor McWilliams is not great. Terrence Steele, right tackle, has been a huge – he's another guy. Terrence Steele's playing at a Pro Bowl-level right tackle. Nobody expected that. So it's good for the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, I want to do this one more time. I had the – cracks me up. The NFL standings through essentially halfway through the season. It is insane right now this morning – who would go to the playoffs. So right now in the NFC, I think the team to keep your eye on is Seattle, because Geno Smith won a game yesterday. Now they have a bye and Russell Wilson comes back. So Seattle's a good football team with a legendary coach and they have playmakers. So right now Seattle is not a playoff team. They're a game out of it. But with Arizona losing, Packers won, Cardinals, Cowboys, Bucks, Rams, the top of the NFC is jammed. It does feel like Seattle with Russell Wilson coming back. Remember when Drew Brees got hurt and the Saints stayed viable, it actually was a benefit because Drew Brees aging got like 5 weeks off. Russell Wilson running around saved his legs for the last 3 weeks. Just something to consider, because Russell uses every ounce of energy to play. Hadn't been running around now for 3 weeks. So now he gets a bye week. So you're going to get a kind of semi-rested Russell Wilson second half of the season. If you go to the AFC playoff picture, Kansas City and Cleveland are not in it. The AFC is a much deeper conference right now. So not only is Kansas City not in it and Cleveland not in it, New England's not. And New England's playing really good football. So that's why, if you're Cleveland right now, the key to solving a problem is identifying the problem. Kansas City knows what their problem is. I think New England knows we need more pop offensively. The problem with Cleveland is they're all arguing about what it is. You go to their fan base. Half of them want Case, half want Baker. Now it's Stefanski. Blame OBJ. The key to solving a problem, you've got to identify it. So that's the problem. In the AFC, I think New England knows we need more speed offense. I think Kansas City knows, like to have another pass rusher. In Cleveland, it's all finger pointing. Not a good place to be. You got to stop worrying about who gets blamed and who doesn't. The problem is Cleveland's offense is broken. Period. It is broken. The coach doesn't trust the quarterback, and right now the quarterback may not trust the quarterback.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Thomas Dimitroff's a former NFL GM, super smart guy, director of college scouting for years and years with the Patriots. Then he went and ran the Falcons for years. He was actually out in front of this sort of wide receiver league we have now when he gave up multiple picks for Julio Jones. And now you look at it and you think, I've said this for years. For years in the NFL, I always said that wide receivers were just icing on the cake. You got to add a cake. They're just icing. Well, they're now a big part of the cake. All the rule changes. You look at the Rams and the Cowboys and like a lot of these great teams. They got 3 and 4 wide receivers. And cornerback, nobody has 4 good corners. So it's become a real mismatch issue in the NFL. If I've got 3 to 4 legit receivers, there's no way you've got even 3 elite corners. The Dallases and the Tampas and the Rams, Kansas City, it is a tough matchup. And Thomas now joining us live. 6 playoff appearances, 3 NFC South division titles. All right, so your buddy Les Snead, and my buddy, I love Les. He just made a move. He got Von Miller. He gave up a second and a third. Now let's start with this. Thomas, how difficult in season is it to make a big move like this?
All right, so in season, it's complicated, of course. If you're thinking about it prior to the season, it's different. In season, because you need someone, you have to have a number of things in place, Colin. And of course, it starts with your organization. You have to make sure that you have the financial situation intact. You also have to make sure that you have a coach, and this is very, very important, and a position coach and a coordinator who are okay with the idea of bringing someone new into their rooms and into the building. If it's complicated from a team standpoint and a scheme standpoint, that becomes very, very dicey in my mind. And then in the end, I think it's really, really important to make sure that, again, you talk about it together, you make sure your owner's in on it. And the idea of renting a player, that is an issue. When it's 1 year, it's an issue. And I think you have to really talk through it and make sure that everyone's very clear of what the expectations are before you pull the trigger.
Are you worried about the Rams that now they don't have a draft pick until the 5th round? We've said it before. Sometimes you need cheap labor. Like the Cowboys right now, last 2 years, have drafted well. They got 4 great players. They're not paying anything to. And the Rams, boy, they're paying Goff's, a big chunk of Goff's salary still. Do you worry that the Rams have given up all these valuable draft picks?
Look, I keep saying that Les is the maverick GM out there, and I really respect what he's doing. I don't necessarily always agree with everything, and we've talked about it quite a bit. What they are doing there, I think, is has an element of cutting edge. They're doing what other people aren't doing. They're saving a lot of where they want to focus on with their own draft picks in the mid rounds, and I think there's genius in that as well. They're going to do what they need to do to make sure they get the right people. They're going for it now. And this is a not for long league. We continue to say that. And kudos to Les and you know, McVay, the approach that they have here, I think it's really aggressive, and I think it should be given some serious lauding.
Okay, I'm going to throw a player out to you, and this could be crazy, Colin, and I can take the criticism, I can take the heat here, but I look at teams like New Orleans and New England, and I think good defenses, great coaches, good running games, but man, I got no over-the-top element, and I think DeSean Jackson, the Rams have him. Now they could use a draft pick, and I'm like, you can't just depend on 13-play drives if you want to beat Aaron Rodgers in the NFC. DeSean Jackson, I know he's not in his prime, but Thomas, I watched him this year. The guy still runs better than 90% of the league. Am I nuts to say that's an interesting player that somebody could go after?
Look, you know this. This guy can fly. This cat is, he still has ability to rip it off the top. He has the ability to separate from people. This league, you need, we know it's a matchup league. You need to violate, I think, with your speed and with your quickness and explosiveness. I told you before, we went and made that move for Julio Jones back in 11 because of DeSean Jackson, as odd as that sounds. He was always killing us against Philly, and we know we needed to have a guy like that, and we did it with Julio, of course. This guy can still do it. I think it would be a really interesting move for someone in this league who needs the finishing touches.
Okay, so right now you take Cleveland. They're spending a lot of money on offense, and it's kind of broken. As a general manager, do you feel helpless? We've been on this for 2 years, the OBJ Baker thing. I'm not blaming either of them. It's just not working. Whatever it is, it's not the symmetry. It doesn't work. So if you're a GM and you got a trade deadline and you look at Cleveland and you're like, okay, I like my O-line. I like my backs. It's not working. Can a GM do anything to the Browns to tweak, or is it kind of a coaching locker room issue?
I think you can do certain things. Again, you definitely have to rely on your coaches, your locker room, your schemes. You have to make sure that it all fits. There's no question about that. We always said going in as general managers that we would love to be able to kick our feet up on the table during the season and just get ready for the building part of the season. That is not the case, especially when you're back and forth and you have the parts, but you know your record isn't what it needs to be. There are pressures on a general manager to make sure that they come up with that really interesting move. It's very difficult, again, and you have to make sure the fit is right. There are reasons that these players are getting out of their organizations, meaning there could be many layers, Colin, as you know. They have to fit in with your organization, and you have to make sure that you don't have, you know, let's call it character issues or other issues out there that don't jive well with your team. Your GM, you have to make sure that you have all of that in check before you bring it to your head coach and your owner.
Okay, so there's a lot of young quarterbacks, and Joy and I have talked about this. Because Kyle Shanahan is the head coach and the play caller, he doesn't have time in a season to develop Trey Lance. He wants to win games. He doesn't have a winning record. So I get him saying, Jimmy Garoppolo gives me the best chance. Then there's teams like, you know, New England with Mac Jones, where I think they do a lot well. And they kind of look at it and think with Mac Jones, well, we could do the Cam thing, but we do so many other things well. We kick it well. We defend well. We coach well. We run well. Take me into New England. You know it well. And Mac Jones, I think, I'm not saying he's ahead of schedule, but I watched his last 14 quarters, Thomas, and I'm like, that looks like a playoff team to me. Are you surprised he's gotten to this point so quickly?
No, I mean, first of all, I remember talking to you about this. Obviously, you're a supporter of his. And we have a guy here at New England right now who, again, is smart. He's thought out. I continue to say he's working with one of the very best, unbelievable offensive coordinators in Josh McDaniels. And the way that organization is, they are utilizing their talent properly. Now, that doesn't mean that they couldn't continue to add someone there. And this comes back to what you're talking about with DeSean Jackson. Maybe they need another receiver. I really do believe that this guy is really developing well compared to some of the other young guys. There's something about him with his consistency and his even keel that continues to impress me, which fits in well, again, with that organization.
So, you know, it's weird. There's cultural changes. In the NBA now, everybody shoots threes. And nobody wants to be a back-to-the-basket center. Dwight Howard's career basically evaporated because nobody needed a big who couldn't shoot a jumper. And in the NFL, we have a little bit of a cultural revolution where these quarterbacks now come into the league, Thomas, and they've had 10,000 snaps, personal coaches, 7-on-7. They're much more ready to play. And I've said, I'm not giving them 4 years. I'm giving them 2. And it, and so Miami, they've barely given Tua one. Are they rushing it? What do you make of what they're doing with Tua right now? Because it just feels like they're done.
Look, back in the day, Colin, you know this, with Aaron Rodgers, they gave him four. It was amazing. We all think we want 4 years. It does not happen in today's NFL. You have to make sure that you're very calculated and creative with how you put together your scheme. You have to make sure your coordinator and your head coach, of course, everyone is on board, because you have to utilize the talent that you brought to the table. We did it with Matt Ryan. I don't want to continue to go back there. We brought in Michael Turner. We brought in Tony Gonzalez in the first 2 years, and we made sure that his leadership and his development was definitely incremental. And that's something that I always believed was the right thing that we did. We didn't always do everything right there, believe me. But I think that's really important. Expectations are high. Get your stud rolling, but make sure you have the right pieces and the right creativity around them.
All right, great stuff from Thomas. It's trade deadline tomorrow. He's giving you a little behind the scenes on how this stuff works. Anytime you're in L.A., stop by. I'd love to go to lunch with you and pick your brain. Thomas, great seeing you again.
Always great seeing you. Thanks, Colin.